Hey everybody, it's Humphreys. Welcome to the Fladdy Longer podcast. We hope by the end of this presentation, you'll be encouraged to take your next right step in your walk with Jesus. Enjoy. The word today, be blessed.
Good morning, Flat family. Such a pleasure to be joining you again this morning and bringing you the word of God. I just want to ask to jump straight into it this morning. We're continuing in the book of Philippians. And last week, Pastor Humphreys did an amazing job introducing our new series, Usadandaula, which speaks about do not be anxious. And I'm just going to jump off from where he left off, and we're going to be in Philippians chapter 4, reading from verses 8 to 9 this morning. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 to 9. I'm reading from the Message Bible. I love the Message Bible. It's an amazing translation. And this is what it says. Summing it all up, friends, I would say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things that are true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious, the best, not the worst, the beautiful and not the ugly, things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into his most excellent harmonies. I also want us to quickly jump to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And I'm going to read that one verse in three different translations so that you just get how amazing it is. So verse 23 says, be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. That's the Good News translation. Then the NIV says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. And the NLT says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. This morning I want to talk to you about guarding your heart. What is guarding your heart? What is guarding your mind? Because the word heart and mind are normally used interchangeably. How do you do that? What does that look like? And what happens when you guard your heart? Now, guarding your heart is intentionally monitoring and filtering what comes into your mind. So this is about looking through what are you feeding your mind and what are you thinking about or what is dominating your internal conversations. So it's an intentional act of doing these two things, really monitoring what's going on, what am I thinking about, but also filtering what comes in, what is useful and what is not useful. Now, I'm a Twitter person, I love Twitter, and Twitter recently introduced, or not recently, I mean it's been there for a while, but I only knew about this, well, recently. It has a mute function where you can mute certain words, you know, or people as well, because sometimes you need to mute some people. but it is this function where you can choose not to have certain things or certain conversations appear on your timeline. And I mean, I just learned about it and I found that function to be so helpful because I think sometimes we get so consumed by conversations that are going on, and it's very difficult to kind of monitor what's coming in and what's going out. And I think a filter button works really good. You just mute that, and that doesn't show on your feed. And I think as we talk about guarding your heart, I want us to be thinking about these things. What are some of the things that I need to mute? What are the conversations that I need to filter? Maybe sometimes it could even be, what are maybe some of the people that I don't need to be around at this time or in this season in my life. So I want us to be thinking about those things as we dive through this. Now, Proverbs 4:23, which we just read. Let me repeat what it says again. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. So why is it so important for us to guard our heart? And as Pastor Humphreys explained earlier, today we want to talk a bit about how do we you know, take care of ourselves, take care of our mental health, even when we're going through difficult seasons. Now, the writer of Proverbs places guarding your heart at the top of your priority list. He says, above everything else, if you're not going to do anything else, the one thing that you need to do is guarding your heart. And when we jump to Philippians, the other bit we read, Paul was writing this letter, and he's about to close the letter. And in verse 8, he says, finally, you know, so these are like his final words. And you know how we always say, if you're not going to listen to anything else, you need to listen to a person's last words, right? So it's like a father who called his kids together, and he's like, all right, kids, after everything I've said, finally, this is what you need to really prioritize. So it's the same thing that Proverbs is saying as well. Guard your heart above all else. Now, why is it so important for us to do that? Because it gives us the answer. It determines the course of your life. Where your heart or your mind goes, your feet will follow. So we normally find ourselves in places where, like, how did I get here? Well, because your mind took you there. Your heart took you there. So where your heart or your mind goes, your feet are going to follow. So whatever is dominating your thoughts, that is what is going to determine the direction of your life, right? So we need to be always thinking, what am I thinking about? What is dominating my thoughts? Now, here's a fun fact. I'm not a medical professional or anything, but I was reading up about this, and I found this interesting thing. Now, scientists say the human mind, over 24 hours, is going to think between 60 to 80,000 thoughts. That's a lot of thoughts. 60 to 80,000 thoughts over 24 hours, which is an average of around 2,500 to 3,300 thoughts an hour. But then here's the interesting bit. However, our brain may only be able to hold three or four things in our conscious minds at one time. So think about this. You have 60,000 thoughts that are going through your mind during the course of the day, 3,300 over an hour. But then at any one point, your mind can really hold or capture three or four dominating thoughts. So what that means is your mind, these thoughts are battling in your mind, and they are all trying to find those three or four spots. So that's why it's so important for you to be monitoring what is going on and filtering, so that whatever dominates your thoughts, whatever gets that one to four spots in your brains that really dominate your thoughts, are the thoughts that you want or that are good for you. Man, preaching online is kind of different, because when you have a crowd on, you're like, oh, can I get an amen? Whoo! Now, so how do you then guard your heart? We've talked about why it's important, but now let's talk about how do we actually do that. How do you guard your heart? And to do this, I have two ways that we're going to talk about. And again, I'm just plucking them right straight from the text. You know, I mean, as a preacher, the best text to preach on are the ones that are like self-explanatory like this. I was just like, oh yes, thank you, Lord. This is like right straight as it is. I'm just going to give it to you as it is. So number one, how do you guard your heart? By filling your mind with and meditating on things that are true, that are noble, that are just, that are pure, that are lovely, that are of good report, that are of virtue, and that are praiseworthy. That is what it says in the text. Paul writes this, and he says, finally, Philippian church, meditate, fill your minds with these things, on things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, of virtue, and praiseworthy. Now, I want us to break them down one by one, but I think I'm just going to focus on one and really talk about things that are true. But I'll run through the rest of them, what that means, just to give you some thoughts around things that we need to be paying special care to. But before I do that, let's try to figure out what it means to fill your mind and what it means to meditate. Now, the word fill means to make replete or to cram or to level up. It speaks of, you know, feeding your mind. You know, like, I'm hungry, I need to fill my stomach, so I need to feed, you know. So filling your mind speaks of feeding your mind. It also speaks of fixing your mind on certain things, being intentional about focusing on certain things above others. Now, This is so important because I know other versions would just say meditate on these things, but I love what how the message puts it. Says fill your mind and then meditate, because I think it's a two-step process, right? So filling is the actual act of intaking that which is going to dominate your thoughts. So again, the question then becomes, what is it that is dominating your thoughts? What are you feeding your mind on? Now, I love reading and watching the news, but at some point I had to kind of pause and say, you know what? CNN, mute for a while. You know, because sometimes I think it just gets so crazy around the things that you are feeding your mind with, and it's so easy to get caught up in the bad news and get so caught up in everything else that is wrong that's going on around you, so that the conversations that dominate your thoughts become the bad that you're seeing around you. So sometimes you need to be intentional about that, thinking about what am I filling my mind with? But then it also says meditate on this thing. So what is to meditate? Now, I love this. It means to murmur in pleasure or anger, to ponder, to imagine, to mutter, to roar, to speak, to study, to talk, to utter. Now, in ancient Hebrew terms, when they talked about meditating, you would recall, say, Joshua. The Bible says in Joshua, meditate on this word day and night. And when Joshua, as a young boy, was reading that, he would understand this to mean, this is how they would understand meditation in the Hebrew times. It meant to silently be speaking about something over and over again, like nonstop. You talk about it so as to internalize it. So in other words, what that would mean is maybe Joshua is thinking about the scripture, by his stripes I was healed, by his stripes we were healed, right? So what it means is he would consistently be saying that over and over again, by his stripes I was healed, by his stripes we were healed, until that translated for becoming just words that you are speaking, to become an internalized part of you, to become something that you believe, something that is so ingrained in your mind. So that's the whole concept around meditation, around internalizing whatever it is that you are feeding on. Now, a good analogy to maybe explain this would be the digestive process of a human being. Again, I'm not a medical person, but then, you know, this is stuff that I was reading around as well. Now, when you eat, when you feed your stomach, your body is not immediately going to benefit from what you're eating on. It's only going to start benefiting when the digestive process begins to happen and the food is now being broken down into vitamins, into carbohydrates, and being transmitted all across the body. Then your body begins to benefit. So it's the same thing. When you fill your mind, or when you're feeding your mind, your mind is not necessarily maybe starting to benefit from it because of what you're intaking, but then the process of actually now beginning to digest, to meditate on it, that is what begins to benefit your mind. Ooh. So it's important for us to be thinking about, what am I feeding myself? But then perhaps more importantly, what am I doing with the food that I'm feeding my mind? Are you meditating on it? Now, the interesting thing about the digestive process is the food is going to digest that which is helpful for you, for your body, but it is going to determine what is not useful, and it throws it out as waste. So as you meditate, that is the process where you're beginning to digest whatever you're feeding yourself on, and then you place those filters I was talking about and begin to realize, actually, I don't need to listen to this bad news right now. No, I don't need to be thinking about this right now. Why? Because it's not good for me. So therefore, I need to let it out as waste. So we need to be thinking about what we're filling our mind with and then digesting it and meditating on that. Now, the Bible also then talks about what are the things that we need to be filling our minds with and meditating on. Now, I'm going to focus on just talking a bit about what is true. But I want to start with just mentioning the others. It says, think about what is noble. Water tastes so good. What is noble? Colossians 3, verse 1 to 2 says, therefore, since you have been raised with Christ, strive for the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. So when you're talking about noble things, it's talking about having higher thoughts, having thoughts that are set on realities, the truth that is above, and not the things that we see on earth. The Bible also says we walk by faith and not by sight. So it's important for us to be always thinking through, what is the truth that we need to be thinking about? What are the things that are above, that the Bible talks about, that we need to occupy our thoughts with. It talks about thinking about things that are right, things that are just, things that are authentic, things that are pure. I mean, I find it in this time that it's so easy to really also be caught up around, you know, fake news, right? And I mean, we've all been victims at some point. But then when it comes about thinking about things that are authentic, things that are pure, things that are true, it's really about thinking, is this really the truth? And one of the things that we can do to really figure out or have a distinction between fake news or maybe one of the filters you can place, the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, a matter is established, right? So I think before maybe we jump onto something, I think it's wise for us to check it out. Think about who else is talking about this. Read more about it before we have a position on a matter. I mean, we've had all sorts of conspiracy theories around this. I mean, last time it was 5G, now it was... they are tracking us through the mask. Now, I mean, there's just a whole lot of stuff that's going on. And it's so easy to get caught up in that. But the Bible says, meditate on things that are pure, that are authentic. So verify what you are feeding your mind on and discard some of it. I've muted a lot of these words like conspiracy theory, 5G, because I just don't need that. It also says, think about things that are compelling, things that are lovely, things that are gracious, the best and not the worst. The beautiful and not the ugly, the praiseworthy and not the things to curse. So again, it's highlighting this thing that focus on what is good for you. Think about the best. Look for the best during this season. I loved what Theo said when she was praying, and she kept on emphasizing this thing that, you know, in the midst of all this, there's so much good that's going on around us. And Lord, help us to see that, right? And I'm reminded of this story in the Bible of Elisha. You remember the story of Elisha and his servant when they wake up and the whole Syrian army is surrounding them? And then the servant, like, panic attack. God, I don't know what's going on. They're about to kill us. Then Elisha, well, I always say, I think in movies, Elisha, gladiator suit, wakes up. And then he's like, Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And boom, the servant's eyes open. And then he sees that they are surrounded by chariots of fire of angels. And it reminds me of the song, you know, this is how I will fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but we are surrounded by you. That's what we need to focus on. To focus not on what we see with our physical eyes, but to look beyond what is natural, to begin to see the greater reality that even in the midst of this, we are surrounded by him. We are surrounded by his love. Man, that's the beauty of this, that even when we are going through difficult times, we are still surrounded by God's love. And I pray that that truth will sink into your heart this morning, that you'd always remember that you are surrounded. Even though it seems like there's a lot of stuff surrounding you, there is a bigger force that's surrounding you, and it's the force of love. It's the pure love of Jesus Christ himself. Amen. Whew. And then it then says, focus on things that are true. So what are the things that are true? Now, we cannot begin to talk about truth without getting this out of the way from the onset. Truth is really a person. You know, the difference between facts and truth is that facts are dependent on evidence and they are subject to a lot of things. But then truth, in its purest form, is really a person. And in John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not I have truth or I speak truth. No, he is the truth. And what is so comforting about that is this. When you know that he is the truth, then it means he is the one never changing, absolute, rock solid, absolute, perfect, long-standing personification of truth. So it means regardless of the contradictions around you, if you know that Jesus is truth, then it's safe for you can trust him. You can trust him knowing that he is truth. And I can always run to him to find truth about whatever situation that I'm going through. So we can only filter and know what is true when we know Jesus and use our knowledge of Jesus as the filter of what is true and what is not. So friend, outside of Jesus, there's no truth. And I don't know if you're watching today and maybe you've never met Jesus. Listen, outside of Jesus, there is no truth. It is only when you've met him, when you've encountered Jesus. In fact, in John 8:32, it says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And remember, Jesus is truth. So it is only when you know Jesus that his truth will set you free. And what will the truth set you free in? It will set you free so that you are able to walk in the truth. Now, there's one thing to know the truth, but it's another thing to walk in the truth that you have known. Now, when you know the truth, you know who you are, your identity, and you know whose you are, your sonship. So that is settled. So it means even though I'm going through a difficult time, because I know the truth about who he is, I know that he's faithful, I know that he's good, I know that he's my provider, I know that he's all-loving, it means I can stand on that. And because I know the truth about who I am, then I know situations do not change or define me. My changing circumstances don't change or define me. My identity is certain. I am a child of God. So it's important for you to know the truth. But then when you know the truth, then the purpose of you knowing that truth is so that you may walk in that truth. John, 3 John chapter 3. 3 John chapter 3, verse 3. It says, "For I have rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. Just as you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth." Listen, this is the Father speaking. "I have no greater joy than to hear that you walk in the truth." Now, walking in the truth means being confident in your identity and being confident in your sonship, knowing whose I am and who you are. And when you get a hold of this, then you can become like David. I am reminded of David in Psalm 23. Then he begins to say, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Why? Because he has come to a place where he understands that I am a child of God. I know whose I am. I know who I am, and I will walk in this truth. So it's possible for you. Maybe you're going through situations, contradictions in your life, it's possible for you to hold on to this truth and begin to walk confidently and say, "It doesn't matter that this is the valley of the shadow of death. It doesn't matter that things don't look the way I want them to, but I walk confidently in this truth that I'm a child of God and that I'm loved by him." Whew! Number two, how do you guard your heart? Remember, I say two things. Again, from the text, by putting into practice the things you have learned, you have received, you have heard, and you have seen. Paul says, do these things, do the things that you have learned, that you have received, that you have heard, and that you have seen. And the principle here is around, you remember the story of Joseph? When he's in Egypt and then he's made the prime minister. But there's a famine that comes to Egypt. And during that time, before the famine, they had 7 years of abundance. Then the famine strikes and they had 7 years of hunger. But because David had this wisdom that he had, Joseph had this wisdom that he had, he implemented a strategy to say, in the 7 years that we're going to have plenty, we're going to save and we're going to store this food so that during the 7 days of hunger, we will eat from what we have stored. And that's precisely what Paul is saying. That, listen, I'm writing to you this to you in a good time so that I prepare you that there will be times when you're going to face some stuff in your life. But then during those times, maybe when it feels like God is not speaking, God is not there, you're not sure what's going on, you're not hearing the voice of God. I know it's so easy during a difficult time to kind of get up in that place where you're like, "But God, where are you?" Maybe it feels different. Maybe it feels like he's not speaking to you, you know? It's always important to remember what you have learned, what you have heard, what you have seen, because that is the food, that is what is going to carry you through a difficult time. I want to challenge you and say this to you. I really believe that tough times are the arena for exploits and the miraculous. That is when God shows up, but only if we dare trust him and take him at his word and practice it. So Paul says, practice the word, practice what you have learned, practice what you have heard. I think, you know, the Bible says, it talks about faith without action is dead, but it also talks about being doers of the word. And I think we're being challenged this morning to practice what we have learned, what we have had. What has he been saying to you over all these years? What have you seen God do over all these years? Can you look back to that and remember what God has done and use it as a reference point to say, I know things are not good right now, but I know my God has been with me from A to Z. He's the one who carried me through that situation, and he carried me through that situation. So today I can trust him because I know he's faithful. I mean, his track record speaks for him. Now, I want to close this by sharing a story, about my wife and I. So over the past few months, they have probably been the most amazing months of our lives. And it's weird, right, to say that, but it is true. And one of the things that happened with us was, prior to the whole COVID situation, I think we're going through probably what was our toughest period financially. And the crazy thing about that was, every month, you know, when you're doing your budgeting and whatever, then God places people in our hearts. And, we feel God is trying us to do something. And we're like, but we are, it's not measuring up the budget. But, we would end up saying, you know what, let's do it. And I'm not talking about doing earth-shattering, mind-blowing big things. No, just simple acts of obedience. Just practicing his word, taking me at his word. And when sort of the crisis hit, I think one of the most amazing things happened. We're talking about this morning, actually. And we saw God just miraculously being more than just a provider. We witnessed probably what you would call abundance. And during a time when, the global economy is not looking good. Now, why am I sharing this story? I think there's a beauty in just taking simple steps of obedience and taking God at his word and practicing the word. The word compels us to be generous. It compels us to love people. And like Paul says, when you practice these things, he ends that verse by saying, then the God of peace, then the God of peace, he will, release his peace into you. So, friends, my challenge to you this morning, maybe as you're thinking about guarding your heart, maybe you need to think also today about, what is God saying to me that I need to obey? Maybe what is God challenging me to do? What step of obedience is he calling me into so that I may practice his word? What is he challenging me to do? Paul says, practice the things you have learned, that you have heard, that you have seen. Practice them. Be doers of the word. So in this season, we're being called to obey him when he speaks. And when we fill our minds with and meditate on his word, which is the truth, and we put it into practice, this is the key to unlocking the peace of God even in this time. So I just want to encourage you this morning. Just take a moment as we pray. What is God asking you to? What is God asking you to obey him in? What is he asking you to practice this morning? And I believe that even as you obey that, as Paul says in Philippians, that the God of peace, that you would unlock the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, and that he will begin to be your sense, your truth, and your peace even during this time. So let's just take a moment to pray together. Jesus, we thank you because you are the truth. You remain true. You are our peace. And we thank you because we know that we can always run to you. We know that we can always come to you. We know that we can always trust in you. We are confident of this because you have never failed us. You've never broken your promises. You've never proven not to be faithful. But over and over again, you've been faithful. You've been good to us. And this morning, we just come and we say, yes, Lord, to your word. Lord, maybe, there are things that you've been calling us to do, and maybe we've been reluctant or we've been scared to even obey and practice your word. Or maybe it's been so difficult to really hear your voice clearly during this time, maybe with all the distractions that are around us. So Lord, I pray this morning that would you just, open up our minds and our hearts to hear your voice, to hear your word, that as you speak to us, as you challenge us, that we may begin to obey your voice and practice your word. So I pray this morning that as we even take these steps, little steps of obedience, that you would be faithful and true to your word, that you would release your peace, and your abundance in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you very much for taking the time to listen to the Flood Lilonge podcast. For more sermons, visit our website at floodchurch.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the Flood Lilonge YouTube channel and like our Facebook page. Stay blessed.